All right, as I hobble up here to this pulpit with my messed up back and my toe hurting, open up the Word of God. You ever have one of them Sundays where you want to just stay at the house? I was tempted, but I couldn't wait to be with you people. The passage of Scripture for today is Psalms 33. Psalms 33. And there are three points to the message today. Point number one will revolve around verses 8 and 9. Point two, around verses 10 and 11. And point number three, verses 12 through 22. So this is the Word of God in Psalms 33. And here's what it says, beginning with verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. Therefore, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all of mankind. From His dwelling place He watches all who live here on earth. And He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do, for no king is saved by the size of his army, and no warrior escapes by his great strength. And a horse, well, it's a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. Well, watch this now. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those who hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord, but He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. And may Your unfailing Lord, O God, be with us, and even as we put our hope in You. May God add His blessings to this very valuable word on this Memorial weekend. O God, our strength in ages past, our hope for years to come. Through the sanctity of Your holy word and through the praise we offer up, guide us today in what You would have us to say. My words are not my own. That which proceeds out of my mouth is a direction from You. And, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, I lift up Your holiness in the midst of Your temple, and I praise You on this glorious day. And all the people said, and amen. Well, there's a lot of activity going on around our nation today, and especially in our area. If you were around town Wednesday and you saw all of the motorcyclists come through to Withers Park, and I don't know how it happened, but Pat and I happened to get in that parade. And all the people lining the streets. And I thought, my goodness, is this for us? But of course I knew that it wasn't. And the rumble of hundreds of motorcycles. And then when Rolling Thunder left Dublin yesterday, the sound was like thunder indeed. And as I stand before you on this day, and speak to you on this Sunday before tomorrow, There are literally thousands of those who have ridden their bicycles, their Harley Davidsons, their Hondas to Washington, D.C., and many of them will converge at a place that is very soft in my heart, the Vietnam Memorial. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever been there? And there, many have not been able to see that, but there is a mobile Vietnam Memorial. And both of us remind us of sacrifices that have been made and are being made. Today, I want to speak to you on the subject, lest we forget. Psalms 33 is the outline of the people for Israel, but it is also a timeless, wonderful passage of Scripture that is as contemporary as the pews in which you're sitting on this day. It is for us. And there are three salient points that I see in this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want us to be reminded that any nation has a responsibility to fear the Lord. So many times in our understanding of the exegetical Scripture, and especially of the Old Testament, we don't comprehend the true meaning of this word fear. But in actuality, this word fear means to stand back in awesome reverence. It means to show awesome respect to the Lord. And these first two verses, 8 and 9, remind us that when God speaks for something, about something, it is confirmed. Can I give you a positive word of assurance today that just as the Lord revealed these words to the psalmist hundreds of years ago, so He continues to speak relevant things to those of us who love this great land. Those of us who have been transplanted here from other nations and peoples. Those of us who are biracial, those of us who are of the Caucasian race, those of us who are the African American race, it makes no difference. From the portals of heaven, our Lord speaks to us. And the glorious thing about the Lord is that He continually speaks. He is not silent, nor is He inactive. And sometimes when we look at the conditions of the world in which we live, the only fear that we have is the fear of the future. And the only fear we have is the fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. We need to understand that when the psalmist says that we are to have fear of the Lord in verse 8 and 9, he speaks to it for all of the earth. And he says, let all of the earth, from every corner of every nation and right down to where we are today, let all the earth fear the Lord. Have awesome respect for Him. And let all the people of the world lift Him high. The word revere means to lift Him high. And when God speaks, He speaks words that are not only eternal for the ages, but are relevant for this age. I recall in reading my history that 409 years ago, when the settlers came to Plymouth, when they offloaded from their ships, the first thing they did was have a prayer meeting. And the consistency of their prayer largely centered around the passages of Scripture they were taught from their infancy. Passages of Scripture out of the Old Testament from the book of Psalms. And then they prayed together in unity that their fear would be none less than their respect for God, and that their reverence would be none less than their reverence for the one who had brought them across the ocean and found the new land. I am also reminded of the father of our great nation, George Washington, when he was surrounded by 30,000 British troops and he having only 17,000. They pushed him farther and farther and farther to the river off Long Island, until finally he gathered his generals together. He had already lost 8,000 men and 3 generals, but what was left, he gathered them together. And he led them in a prayer meeting. And he said, "We need to ask the Lord for guidance on exactly how we're going to get out of this fix." And so as the fog rolled in and the icy rain fell, he made the ultimate decision that they would launch their boats and cross the river in all of that weather. And their prayers were answered. And then point number 2 today is this. How clearly do we see what is really happening and what is the plan for our nation? On one episode of the series Waters World, Jesse Waters went out onto the street and he began to ask young people and college students, "What is the meaning of Memorial Day?" Well, you wouldn't believe some of the answers. Some of them said, "Well, it's the first holiday of summer. It's the day in which all of the polls open. It's the day in which we have the biggest picnic of the year. It is a celebration of the end of winter and the beginning of summer." Very few of the people in our world are like that. And we must not be downcast because of those who are ignorant to the great sacrifice that has been made on our behalf. But rather, we need to be encouraged. Those words came out of our mouth yesterday morning as we watched television and saw all of the celebrations going on all over the country. They're celebrations in which the flag is flying, and people in great patriotism are remembering the sacrifice that has been made. That is what we need to emphasize more. When we stand and pledge our allegiance to this great flag that we call Old Glory, we do it not out of simple habit, but we do it because if we really appreciate this truth deep down in our souls, we see the whole world and not just ourselves. And we see that we have always been, and in my heart I believe we always shall be, the great light for the world that offers up the true knowledge of what freedom is all about. What I really see happening sometimes in our world is what we call the decriminalization of that which was once criminal offenses. And we see that not only in our country, but the world. And we see it sometimes, are you ready? Even in the church. We see a world that is more compromising than firm. What the scripture says in these verses 10 and 11 is so significant that they are valid for every day. Notice what it says. The plans of the Lord stand firm. And what God has planned, He not only sanctions with His stamp of approval, but notice it says, the purposes of His heart through all generations are confirmed. And so who is our guide anyway? Well, as we prayed this morning in our prayer time, there is no one other than the supreme being that we worship, God Almighty, that sets the standard. For the scripture says, His plans stand firm forever. Now I'm submitting to you that we can look at our world and become miserably depressed and downcast. Or we can come back to the Word of God and confirm once again what these verses state, that the plans of the Lord are firm and the purposes of His heart are for all generations. Well, let's just talk about two of the plans of the Lord. There are many, but just two of them that are relevant as you, the people of Wythful Baptist Church, prepare for a new pastor. First, the plans of the Lord is that there would be none, no, not one, that would be lost and unsaved. What does the scripture say? It is not the will of the Father that any should perish. Whatever this church does, whatever its mission will be, and whatever the future holds, there is one great light that must shine above all the lights of this church. And that is the light of the Savior who said, I am the light of the world. And no man comes to the Father except through me. And so if that light is held forth, not only in the churches of this land, but in this church, then the will of the Father will only be confirmed, not denied. And the will of the Father is that none perish. You see, more than anything else, this church is a witness to the lost. And I can only anticipate, I'm going to watch it, what the Lord is about to do as we see lives being saved and coming to the fullness of Christ our Savior. It's always rather exciting those first 6 months of a new pastor's tenure. I always like to call it my honeymoon. I even had that in the first 3 months of your interim. Then people begin to see who the pastor really is and begin to realize that, hey, he's just like us. He's a human being too. But he will always follow the lead of his congregation. When the congregation says to him, we want to be a light unto the world. And we want to see people saved and uniting with this church. This is an exciting day for Pat and Brad and I. As I'm standing before you preaching this morning, for just the fourth or fifth time in 20 years, our son and his wife and our two grandchildren are sitting in their pews in their church. They're really not pews, they're individual seats because they meet in this multi-purpose building. It's a contemporary style worship. But today, when that invitation is given, they're going to step out from their seats and they're going to walk the aisle and unite with their church, with that church, and our little granddaughter is going to make her public profession of faith in Christ because some pastor came and led her to the Lord last Wednesday night. And that is how the church is confirmed. That's how we go on from generation to generation. That's what makes nations great. And that's what the scripture says. The plans of the Lord, they stand firm forever. The Lord never changed the plan of salvation. There is still only one way for salvation, and that's through Christ the Savior. That hasn't changed. You just can't flippantly believe anything that you want to believe. But there is a firm guideline that must be lifted up. And the purposes of the Lord, they stand forever. And the purposes of His heart are for all generations. Some folks think, and I'm not sure how much of it I believe. I do get discouraged. I will admit that. But sometimes we feel that the Constitution of these great United States is being destroyed by stealth. You know what I mean by that? It's being destroyed not by acts of Congress or the Senate, but by executive orders in which things are done that are exactly contrary to the Constitution of the United States. But that will not stand. It won't stand. Why? Not because I say so, but because the Word of God says the purposes of His heart last through all generations. Which leads to point number 3. And just ask yourself this question. Are we still a blessed nation? And my answer for you as your interim pastor is absolutely yes. We're still a blessed nation. What does it say in verse 12? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In the days of the psalmist writing, it was known well that there were many gods that gave people choices for worship. There was Baalism. Just like some new religions of our day are gaining the attention, and many of the traditional churches like ours are asking, what is this all about? This movement that's happening. What's it all about? And I don't know what it's all about, but I do know this. That the nation will always be blessed that understands fully that Jehovah God, as it says in the Greek language, Yahweh God, is the Lord of our nation. And when that is true, our nation is blessed. And you just look at this world in which you live. Your world. Your world consists of those that are around you. This is my world. And a part of my world is you. And a part of my world is my family. And a part of my world are my comrades in arms. A part of my world is those who were fighting alongside of me in Vietnam. This is my world. And your world consists of where you are and what is in your world. Now we choose. We make the choices of that which is right and good, or we make the choices of that which is irrelevant and which is not very reverent at all to the Lord God. So when we choose something other than God, from all the choices that there are in this world, just like there was in the day of the psalmist, when we choose some other God, then that is what leads us not to be blessed, but leads us in a path of destruction. Notice also that it says something about the ever-seen God. Watch this. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all of mankind. From His dwelling place, He watches. I have in my pocket something that we just sort of take for granted. I have a $1 bill. not worth much anymore, is it? You know, you take this dollar and two more, you can buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks. I remember when I had a dollar bill as a teenager and I could buy me a moon pie and a big old orange pop. It ain't worth much anymore. But did you know that on your dollar bill, there is a pyramid which points to heaven. And inside of the pinnacle of the pyramid is the all-seeing eye of God. And the words E pluribus unum in God are out of many one. And the scripture says here that from heaven he's watching us. Who do we think we are as a people to think that we could really get by without the all-seeing eye of God watching all that we do, that we say, and the actions we take? Well, I could go on and on because there's much to say, but I want you to look at verse 20, especially in conclusion this morning. For here's what verse 20 says, and if there's any part of this passage that is completely relevant to all who stand or sit within the sound of my voice, this is it. This is who we are. This is America. And the verse says, we wait in hope for the Lord. Don't ever give up hope. Listen, don't ever be squashed or squandered by the negativity of the world in which we live. You remember who you are. And you remember what you stand for. For you are a child of the King. I'm talking about the King. And he says, that's who we are. We wait in hope for the Lord. For he is our shield and our help. In him we rejoice. Kind of reminds me of the story of old Gideon. You remember the story? Of all the people in all the world at that time, God chose Gideon to be a great warrior on his behalf. And Gideon said to the Lord, "Who in the world am I, Lord, that you would ask me to be such a great warrior? I am the least of my people, and I'm certainly not a warrior." And I know what God was thinking, whether he said it literally or not. The same thing that he says to us when we fear in the wrong way. He would say to Gideon, "It's not about you, Gideon. It's about what I can do." And you see all of those soldiers you have out there on the battlefield? What were they, like 22,000? Too many. Too many. To win the battle for me, you are not dependent upon your horses and your soldiers. And that's what the scripture says. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance, despite all the great strength that they have. Gideon, you got too many men. And he narrowed it down until finally he said, "You take the soldiers down to the water side and you let them have a drink of water. And if they all just sort of bend over and drink the water, send them to the house. But the ones that bend over and lap the water up, then keep them for your regiments of armies." Because you see, when they lap the water up and drew it to their mouth, they had their eyes open. and they could see the approaching enemy. Now, friends, I've tried to be as positive with you today as I can be. But where on the one hand, we need to see that God is still the author and finisher of our faith. He is still our God, and He's the one that bestows the blessings on our nation. And at the end of the day, Gideon had 300 men left. And he went up against the entire army. And he won. Friends, listen. We're winners. You realize that? I'm not talking just about our nation, but I'm talking about in our spiritual lives. We're victors in Christ. And we need to not only claim that and affirm it, and wait in hope for the Lord, for He is our help and our shield. Pray with me now. O Lord, who is our strength, for every passing day, we dare not neglect the great choices that we make for You to be supreme in our church and in our lives. That's our choice. But it's also the choice of a people that we call this great nation of ours. And so, Lord, confirm in us Your guiding hand and protective care watching over us. And may we be reassured, Lord, that our hope is in You and in none other. And as we confirm that today, we praise You with all that is within us. And I ask it then, in Christ's name, amen.